Welcome to Spotlight in the Lowcountry. This is a space dedicated for the voices that move us, the songs that stay with us, and the artists who pay their dues for the love of moving the masses. Come on in and meet the folks behind your favorite tunes. Without further ado, ladies and gents, our host, Mr. John Martin.
This is John Martin with WVFF 97.7, Spotlight of the Lowcountry. And with me I have Jeep White, excellent musician and singer-songwriter. So how are you, Jeep?
I'm happy to be here.
So anyway, what are you going to play for us today?
Ooh, I don't know. My roots go back to West Virginia, although I've been in Charleston 38 years, and then out here in Walterboro for a year. I had to get out of the city. There's too much going on there. I get tired of. I'd sooner take a beating than sit in traffic. It's not in my nature.
Mm-hmm. So, I agree with you.
So I had to get out of Charleston. But you know, my roots go back to West Virginia. I grew up in the mountains and the hills. As a matter of fact, where I grew up was so far back in the mountains that sunshine came in on a freight car. It was one of those you only had about 6 hours of sunshine every day because it would come up behind the mountain and then it come over and you had sunlight and then it went down behind the mountain. So your daylight hours were cut real short because of where we were situated. But, you know, that was my upbringing. And my granddaddy played banjo and my uncle played guitar and he traveled with a group for a while. And, you know, I always loved listening to them, and my granddaddy raised me pretty much. I got out of West Virginia and bounced around a little bit. My dad was an aluminum siding salesman. He was a tin man, and those are interesting times when
that's back when they made real siding.
Oh yeah, when they made real aluminum siding, and. We'd basically sell out of town, and then he'd have to move somewhere else to get more business, and did that for a while. And then ended up back in West Virginia, and graduated from high school, and joined the military, and off I went, 17 years old.
See, you're really easy to interview because. You have some interest in life band.
Oh, I'll tell you what, I have had, in some aspects, the good Lord's been good to me because I'm still here. But I have definitely had some interesting times in my life. Absolutely. Some real interesting times. The one thing about growing up in the mountains, I didn't have any brothers or sisters, and I was around adults, in my formative years, and I learned to be self-sufficient. My girlfriend tells me, she says, "You're the most self-sufficient man I know." I said, I wash my own clothes, cook my own food. I'm good. I don't. My mama told me, she says, "I'm gonna teach you how to take care of yourself, so you don't have to have some woman wait on you." So. Not that I don't mind that now. Not that I don't mind that. I love being waited on and catered to, but I'm self-sufficient. I don't have to have somebody do my laundry or anything. I get by perfectly fine on my own, but I do love the company of a good woman.
As most men do.
Yeah.
Now, you're a music. When you write, what genre?
I have what you would call an eclectic taste in songwriting. My songwriting is kind of all over the place. Some of it's country, some of it's bluegrass, some of it's rock and roll. I think it all kind of fits in that Americana mm-hmm. niche. But I write in different styles, and I like to express things I've experienced, things that other people have experienced, you know, things that people have told me, and I like to try to evoke a little emotion in my songs, or paint a picture. I like painting a picture mm-hmm. so that you know, you can visualize what's going on, and I just really enjoy doing it. You know, I didn't start playing guitar till I was, I think I was 18 years old in the Air Force when I bought my first guitar. And that might have been in Taiwan at the BX in Taiwan. But when I was a kid, I begged for a guitar all the time, and my dad was a no-nonsense kind of guy. You know, you don't need to fool with that. You just need to get you a job and work and all. And so I never got a guitar. And he says, if you want one bad enough, you'll save your money. And I guess he was right. You know, if I had really wanted it bad enough, you know, I'd probably save some allowance money, because I sure as hell worked for it and earned it. But I didn't do it till I got in the military and got in, hooked up with a bunch of other guys that played guitar, and then, you know, just kind of took off from there. And I love writing, and love creating, and I love trying to get people to feel what I'm feeling. So that's my big story there.
So, would you like to play a song?
Yeah. Let me kick something about my roots on here. My mother was a Hatfield. I'm the great-grandson of Valentine Hatfield. And Valentine Hatfield was Devil Ants Hatfield's older brother. And they called him Judge Hatfield. They called him Judge Wall. And I think that was a hillbilly way of saying, instead of saying Val, like a wall. But his name was Valentine, and he was Devil Ants' older brother, and he did was a judge and a well-respected man. He got all tangled up in the feud, and he ended up dying in a federal penitentiary in Kentucky. He'd been convicted of conspiracy with some other Hatfields and the murder of four McCoy boys. And he swore his innocence. He said he did not participate in the murders. And matter of fact, he turned himself in. He was convinced that you know, he'd be exonerated. But in Kentucky, the McCoys had a lot of influence, and there had been a lot of brutality on both sides. And I think he ended up getting scapegoated a little bit, but you know, that's part of my heritage. And I wrote a song about the tragicness of what happened to him, and it's Together the Devil and I, but it is not Satan the devil. Mm-hmm. It's about Devil Ants, his brother. And they were all tight back then. Those people were tight, you know. They had to look out for each other, and the law was a long way away. So, mm-hmm. you know, they were survivors, and you know, something happened. They took matters into their own hands.
So the whole thing started of a hog. That's what I heard one time.
Yeah, that was just one of the things. Was the hog trial. You know, the one guy, a Hatfield, claimed it was his hog, and a McCoy claimed that it was his. And they used to cut their ears to identify their hogs, mm-hmm. and there was some complaint about that. Anyway, they took it to court, and the judge was a Hatfield. And he wasn't satisfied that the McCoy could prove ownership, so the hog went to the Hatfield that claimed he owned it. And it was just a whole series of incidents like that, because both families had influence. Hatfields had influence in West Virginia, and then across the state line in Kentucky, the McCoys had influence. And that area was located right on the Kentucky-West Virginia line across the Tug Fork of the Big Sandy River.
Well, I know one thing. If I were riding around listening to the radio, this would really be an interesting interesting story.
Well, I can tell stories all day, but let me do this, play this cut, Together the Devil and I. Like I said, this is not about Satan the Devil. This is about Devil Lance Hatfield and my great-grandfather, Valentine.
Grab yourself some snacks, and we'll be right back with more from Spotlight in the Lowcountry here on WVFF 97.7 FM, Veterans for Freedom Radio.